Ruth, very familiar passage of Scripture. I would like to once again say it is good to have our guests with us today. And I've gotten up here and your name slipped my mind. Help me out, somebody in this corner. Sean. Sean, it's good to have Sean with us today. Amen. We're going to the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. If you have that, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. This is terrible. I usually have it marked. Ruth, chapter number 1. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Brother Smith has it. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 19. It says, and so they went to, they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Notice, in the time she was gone, they began to look and say, is this really Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley season. Can we pray just for a little while as I preach on the simple subject of the subtle slide, the subtle slide. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, God, I need your anointing. I need you to help me to impart into this wonderful group of people, God, just this simple thought of what you're trying to teach us today and the value of staying connected with who you are. God, we ask you to be with us. Help us to glean something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to have Brother Harmon back with us today. I haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. He's on that second shift, and that's a miserable shift. Third shift and first. I feel for you, my brother. That's a miserable way to try to go through life. But he's here on Sunday. Amen. It's good to have him back with us. So, subtle. Anybody know what subtle means? Subtle simply means especially of change or distinction, so delicate or precise as to be difficult to analyze or describe. It's such a subtle or small, minute thing, it's very difficult to even recognize that a change was made, but a change was made. I don't know if you have ever noticed, but simply the running of water. If you look at the Grand Canyon and the way that the river runs through the Grand Canyon, over time, it has been eaten away and carved away by simply the rushing and the moving of water. If you were to stand by a river, Brother Payne, and look at the water that's flowing along that riverbank or along the rocks, along the edges, so you would stand there and say it's the same as it was 5 minutes ago. It's the same water. Everything looks the same. But if you come back 5 years from that same day and look at that same riverbank and that same body of water flowing through, things guaranteedly have changed. Why? Because that flow, that constant moving, causes what they call erosion. It causes an etching. It causes a cutting until the very fact that a liquid water can cut rock. That's amazing, isn't it? Something that we drink, something that we send down our throat that makes you question, how many drinks should I take? Am I cutting my throat as the water is going down? And I know that's a weird way of looking at it, but the reality is water cuts things. There is something called hydroboring. They take water and they shoot it through a tube, and they can actually take that tube and run it underneath a road through the ground and cut for many, many feet across. And the way they cut that is not with the boring of a chisel. It's not with a drill, but is purely pushing water against the surface of the dirt and flushing the dirt out of the hole as it's coming and drilling a hole with simply the pushing of water. But in just a moment, you can't notice the changing of some things. I don't know about you, but do any of you remember watching your hair turn gray? Some of the mothers say, yeah, I remember it every day. But most of us that have gray hair in here don't remember standing there watching as gray began to come out and started to protrude from our head. But here it is. It was so subtle. It was almost non-existent. You couldn't see it happening, but yet it was happening all the time. And even the effects that things have on our body. How many of you has ever wore a pair of shoes that actually changed the way you walk because you wore those shoes too long, or you didn't walk on those shoes right until you finally changed the way the bones rode and the way your muscles grew around? They say you can actually injure your back by keeping a wallet in your back pocket. You never even know you're doing it. By having that wallet in your back pocket, it literally will change the way the muscles and the way the bones are in your hips and can cause back problems later in your life. Brother Joey, that big fat wallet with all that money in it, who thought it was going to kill you someday? Going to cause you to walk one-sided or sideways and hurting your back because you had too much money in your wallet? Everybody would like, we'd put up with some our back problems, wouldn't we, to have a little bit of money in our pocket. But there are little subtle things in life that begins to change. And I would even go as far to say is most people won't look back after a broken marriage or a broken home or an issue with a child or a family member that they never speak again. And most of them can't look back and say it was the day I punched them in the nose. You might remember that moment or not like to remember. Maybe we were on the receiving end. Maybe we don't want to remember that moment. But however, it didn't start at that moment. There was a little subtle thing that was underlying. Maybe it was an attitude. Maybe it was a thought process. Maybe it was the way they were thinking. Maybe it was the way the arrangement in the marriage and the home, because somebody was reneging on their responsibilities of making it a family. And now on years down the road, you have something that didn't start out as a problem, but eventually just a little subtle nature of things. This is exactly where Ruth found herself. Ruth found herself looking back over her life, and it was all because of a family. And it was because they needed food, but they had removed themselves from where they were at and went into the land of the Moabites. It wasn't a place that the children of Israel were to be frequenting necessarily. The Moabites were not Israelites. They were not to be mixing together, if you will, because the Jewish heritage was protecting its bloodline. It was they believed in trying to make sure that they kept it pure, if you will. It was a biblical thing from the beginning that the children of Israel didn't go marry Philistine wives. They didn't go out and partake of the things that were in witchcraft and the things that were in the different forms of religion that were not based upon one God of the Old Testament. So now you find Naomi, as she has been through a lot, and she has now lost her husband, and she had two sons, and now she's lost both of her sons. And as we know the scripture and what it is and the value of it, there is something that I want us to recognize. What happened in her life wasn't necessarily the judgment of God, but that is what she recognized it at. But could it have been? It was the fact that Naomi was living elsewhere and not able to enjoy the surrounding things and the benefits of the presence of the people of God. But she was living in a foreign land. She was living in a foreign country. And now when she comes back, they hardly even recognize Naomi. You find when Naomi makes the statement, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, but call me Mara." Call me the one that has been dealt with bitterly by God. She said, I went out empty, or went out full, but I came back empty. I feel like the very life of me has been sucked out of my bones. And no doubt, while she was living there, she probably felt the joys of every day with the family. She felt the joys of sitting down to dinner with the kids, no doubt, as she had her family all there together. But little by little by little by little by little, eventually she finds herself. Both sons are dead. Her husband is dead. And now she's faced with a choice. Do I stay here? And I have no family here now. I don't have anything that is blood connectivity here. So where do I go? What do I do? And she decides that she's going to go back home. That's a tough decision to make for some people. No doubt she did have family back home that was probably going to recognize the fact that she had been gone, was going to recognize the fact of where she had been, going to recognize that her sons had married Moabite women, which wasn't exactly something that you wanted plastered on the newspapers back home. But the fact was, she was what she was. And she had enough wisdom to get up and say, I'm going home. Did you catch that? She said, I may not be going home full. I may be going home empty, but I'm still going home. She looked at her daughters-in-law and said, you can go home with me if you want, but my recommendation is you're not the children of Israel. You're only married into the family, and it's okay. I'm not going to be bitter if you don't go. And one decided to go, but the Bible says Ruth clave to Naomi. She wrapped her arms and said, no, if you're going back, I'm going back. If you're going to go back home, wherever you go, that's where I'm going to be. And the Bible said she clave to Naomi, and she said, your God's going to be my God, and wherever you go, I'm going to be a part of that. And I've got news for some folks here today. There is things that goes on in life. There is positions we take in life, whether it be political, whether it be physical, whether it be just normal life. But there are some things that goes on in life, and it can be ever so subtle. It can be just the minutest thing that you don't even realize or recognize how it's changing your motives, how it's changing your thoughts, how it's affecting how you look at life and how you look at other people. And I would just go as far as saying some of us. I remember growing up as a child, and on my school bus, we weren't allowed to play rock and roll in our home. We still don't. But growing up as a child on that school bus, we'd hear some of those songs. And they were just in the distance. It wasn't like I had them cranked up in our days, brother. You appreciate this. We had a jam box back then. It was called a jam box. It was something that the cool thing was, you'd put that jam box. I had one of those jam boxes, and I had batteries in it. And I would take that jam box and I'd strap it to the handlebars of my bicycle. And I had me a radio on my bicycle, and I could cruise up and down the road and ride over to Potato Creek and go fishing. And I had music all the way there, and that was the coolest thing. But I remember as a little child, as growing up on that school bus, I would hear those songs. And even yet today, you'll be in a store, you'll be somewhere, and you'll hear music in the background, and you'll catch those songs. I don't remember ever buying a CD or a tape of any of those people, but in the little subtle back of my mind, there was a little bit something feeding in. Until now, even today, I could quote you some of those songs that they were playing on that school bus. Why? Because little by little, it was ingrained in your mind. They say poetry, they say reading, they say music has a way of moving and changing the impacts and the feelings of people until it can literally change their perspective on situations. It is not unusual for you to go into a store and them to have music playing. It depends on what kind of store you're in is the kind of music they will play, because different music will change your mood. You're probably not going if you go into Walmart this time of year, within the next couple of weeks, my daughter is into this already. Lord, help me. We were riding in my truck, and I found one of my stations was already on Christmas music. And isn't it funny? They know that Christmas music will cause you to want to buy ornaments. It'll make you want to buy trees. It'll make you want to buy gifts. It'll make you want to spend money. I don't know why, but they have figured out which songs to play. And they will play those songs over and over. And for some reason, by the time you've heard them enough on Thanksgiving Day, everybody's ready to not even go to bed that night, to get in their cars and go shopping at midnight. I don't understand that. You're supposed to be sleeping at midnight, not at Walmart, not at JCPenney's for a doorbuster sale at midnight with your coupons that they sent you the week before and baited you. Or you're at Menards and they got $9.99 and they got only 500 of them and people will be lined up, literally, sister, pushing people out of the way to get a $9.99 little piece of junk most of the time. That the light battery will light up the light one time, you use it or you drop it, it's done. But even music will just, little things will change the opinion of the entire atmosphere. Notice when you go to the doctor's office, did you know even your stores that you go in that don't have music or your office buildings, they will play noise, just noise. We have this service. Most of you probably don't notice it. I run the fan the whole service. Why? It's just background noise. It causes it to be not so uncomfortable. Your mind stays a little more focused if there's a roar. My daughter goes to bed, and my wife walked into her room the other night, and she hears this going in her room. And she looks down and her humidifier doesn't have a filter right now because it's not quite cold enough season yet. So she knows it's not the humidifier. And she looks and laying on her pillow, sister, beside her bed was an iPhone playing a fan noise. Not music, but on her iPhone, the tune she's playing is a fan. Now, I remember going to sleep with listening to 88.1, and they would have jazz music or just symphony music and things that you'd go to sleep listening to. I don't ever remember going to sleep wishing I could just listen to a fan. Just serenade me with a fan. But something about that subtle, most of the time, she would not even know it's there, but because it's not there, there's an empty quietness. And it's just so subtle. It's just so slight. But many of us, there are things in our life that sneaks in, and it's just a little thing, and we don't see it coming. And pretty soon, it's shaped our whole mentality. It shaped our whole mindset. And you ask me how somebody could walk into some place and rob somebody of the medicine that they need to survive on, just to get another high, and you think, how did that person ever get that way? I don't think there's a person in the world that got up one day and says, I think I'm going to go steal the medicine of an old person this week so I can get high. I don't think that. But somewhere along the line, there was just a little thing that slowly started to slip in. And you know what it was? It probably wasn't even marijuana the first time. It was something called self-discipline. Pleasing me. Being able to enjoy my moments and my feelings and what I want. And pride and arrogance carries you to the point where it's all about how I feel and what I want to do. Until finally you can create crimes and kill people and hurt people. Why? Because you want to feel that that way one more time, I got news for you folks. That's a trick of the devil. It's just a little subtle thing. It slowly starts to slip in. And most of us don't even see it in our own lives. But there's a little bit of what I'm preaching about inside of every one of your minds here today. That it's just a little voice. It's just a little thing that's knocking on your door. And you can't even really audibly hear it. But it's there. And there's going to be things that you're going to look at. And things you're going to think. And things that come through your mind that's going to start to shape you. And you better learn at a young age how to find the flush button on that mind. Because it's an ever so subtle slide. When you look at our nation, I was actually online on the Fox News site. And actually it wasn't Fox News, it was the Blaze site. And I was looking through some of the news on my phone and I came across an article that blew my mind away. It was an article saying that the Polish or Poland government was going to start paying people. Catch this. They believe in the rights of people to live so much. Poland has offered to pay moms and dads that have an ultrasound and have the test, and their child may have a deformity or something that maybe isn't quite just perfect with that child. And so many people were choosing to abort that child rather than care for that child. They said, if you will continue on and have that child, we will give you payments to help you take care of that child for the rest of that child's life, because we don't want you to kill that baby. And now, I don't know about you, but woe is us if we can sit in life and look at the thoughts and the beings of people around us and say, we have devalued life so much that they've got to pay me to not kill someone. That just doesn't make any sense in my own mind. But I'm thankful that there's a government in this world somewhere that says, we care about people. We care about life. They may not have everything. I'm glad one day that there was somebody that said, you know what? My son may not be the tallest, but I'm going to care for him anyway. Because when we start choosing people on whether they're perfect or not, many of us would have never made the grade. Many of us would have never lived. Many of us wouldn't be sitting here today. But God made every one of us in His image. But slowly in our society, the little things have slipped in and slipped in and slipped in and slipped in and slipped in until finally now, I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous when you look across the sea and Russia appears to be more conservative religiously than America. That's scary. When Poland's government is standing up and saying, don't kill the babies, let us help you take care of them. And many in ours are saying, just kill them. Something's wrong. And it's just subtle. You say, how did we get here? Who would have ever thought? And we have elders here, and I think our elders have value. Sister Smith, I think you add value to this church. We need elders. We need young children growing up. We need teenagers. But we need elders amongst us because we don't have all the answers. Sister Latrell, there's things you've been through that this young pastor needs to hear sometimes that may help me and make me a better preacher, make me a better dad, make us better moms, and help children get through some situations in life. There's some value to that. But quickly, we're coming to a society that says, you know what, when they get old and it costs a little more to take care of them, then we just stop doing surgeries and we don't care about them anymore. Just give them a pill and let them die. Something's wrong with our society when we think that way. But this is not a fairy tale. We all think, preacher, has that really happened? Absolutely. It's happening right here in America. Some of the states have already passed the legalization of the drug pill to give them so that they can take their life. Under doctor's protection. I don't know about you, but I believe God gives life. And God takes life. And we need to leave the things of God to God. And just let God be God. I don't know about you, but I believe there are some things that slipped in, and there are some things that many of us, if you look at our country, and I'm closing here in just a couple of minutes, if you look at our country and we look at ourselves and say, you know what, we came as a country and we turned to God, and God gave us this wonderful land. He gave us jobs. He gave us a better economy than anyone in the world. Most of our people have cars. Most of our people have food. Most of our people have marriages and homes and things that if you go into a foreign field, you would be amazed at the poverty. You would be amazed at the thing that those people don't have. And we in America are so blessed. But if we aren't careful, we're going to be just like Naomi. There's going to be a day we're going to come back to God and say, we went out full, but we came home empty. But I believe there's a value in emptiness. I believe there's a value in coming back to God and saying, God, I don't have anything left to give. I've given it all away to this world. And God will stay. You still say, you know what? You're still my child. You didn't have anything that was going to really give me much anyway. But I just want you. I just come here. Let me wrap you up in my arms. Let me just let you know how I really feel about you. And not only that, if you study the lineage of Ruth, you'll find the lineage of Christ. Somebody that said, I have nothing else to give. And God said, that's just what I'm looking for. Because I'm going to allow you to be a part of the very lineage of my own flesh. You don't know it. You feel empty. But in the middle of emptiness, I'm producing a miracle. Divinely, you've come back home. And divinely, there's a place that I've carved out. And it's not by accident, Brother Payne, that Ruth found someone. And they took her in their wing. And she found favor. And eventually, we find a scripture written in our Old Testament that tells how someone that wasn't supposed to be was engrafted in to be part of. Why? Because someone escaped the subtle slide and came back home. That's the difference. That's the difference. Can we all stand? I'm coming to a close. I don't know where you are at in your walk with God today. But this preacher came to knock on somebody's door here today. And maybe all of our door. Says maybe we just need to look inside. What's tugging on our heart? Where's our motivations? Where's our passions? What's driving us? What is it that's causing our clock to tick every morning? Is it God? Or slowly we've started to just kind of get washed away with life. And God's a million miles away. Maybe God's knocked on your door about baptism. Maybe you know what it is to have the Holy Ghost and you've kind of let it slip from your grasp. And now you look around and you say, God, where'd you go? God's right where you left him, just waiting for someone to come home. But just as subtle as those changes in life are, so is God. So is God. God's not the God with a big hammer that says, make a move and I'm going to crush you. He's the God. It's on the other side with his knee bowed, reaching down, saying, just a little farther. I'm putting everything in your path that I can get there. If you just make a couple more steps, I'm right here. If you can just make it to me, I'm going to be there. Just one more step. You're almost there. That's the kind of God we serve. It's every head is bowed and every eye is closed.
God, how great you are. How great you are.
I wonder how many of us today would find a place with God and spend just a few moments with him and say, God, I just need a refreshing. I just need a renewing in the Holy Ghost here today. I just need something from you, God, to let me know one more time that I'm still your child. I know I'm not what I often have been cracked up to be, God. I wonder, is there anybody else? Thank you for those that have come today. But how many of you would find a place, whether it's in your seat, whether it's around these altars, can we just find a place to pray here today and say, God, I need a moving of your Spirit. I need a washing and a renewing one more time. I need your anointing, God, to flood through me and flush me and cleanse me and purify me, God. I need one more time, God, to just fall back into your arms and let you know, God, I still love you. It's been so long, God. Maybe I've strayed a long ways from you, God, but somehow today, let this be someone that's telling you, God, I went out full. I had blessings. I had everything going on in my world, but now I come back with nothing to offer, God. But if you will accept me, God, if you will just take me as who I am, God, and take my life. It's already broken, so God, you can take it and remake it in whatever you want it to be. And who knows, let this little preacher tell someone here today, you don't know where God can take your life. You don't know where you may end up in your life, because God can make you anew. When you go back home, they may not recognize you, but God will. Because God's already set you up in his little subtle way. He's already put everything into place. The grain's already being left in the field for you, Ruth. Everything is just kind of there at the right place at the right time. Why? Because God knows your name. God knows where you've been. God knows what you've been doing in life. And God's been standing there at every turn saying, if I can just get them to recognize that they need me. If I could just get them to recognize one more time that I still love them. In the name of Jesus, walk amongst your children here today, God.
And we are responding
in Jesus' name.
Your love. Oceans are rising.
Let your Spirit, God, wash us anew here today.
At your word.
God, we recognize we don't have much, but what we have is us.
We are responding.
We want to give ourselves to you one more time afresh.
My God, how great you are.
In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can we just talk to God for a few more moments in the name of Jesus? Let your Spirit refresh us. Let your Spirit wash us right now, God. Grab somebody up in your arms right now, Jesus.
How great you are.
Tell them you're glad they're home, God. Let them know, God, that you've been right here waiting on them, God, for this moment of opportunity in their life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
The oceans are rising.
In the name of Jesus. Can we entertain his presence for a few more moments? Can you lift your hands to God right now? A sign of submission to the Almighty that says, God, I'm yours. I give you my life. I give you all I've got. Just broken pieces left over, God. But I'm here. That's all that matters,
God.
I'm here. I've made it back.
How great you are.
At the place, God, where you can change me and you can touch me and you can refresh me and you can renew me, God. You can make me in your image again. In Jesus' name. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh
for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for meeting me, God, this point in my life. Oh God,
how great you are.
I wonder if we can stand all across this place, lift our hands towards heaven here today.
My God, how great.
Can we express how thankful we are for His mercy,
for
His grace? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for speaking to us one more time, God. Thank you for loving me, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can we give Him some glory and praise in this house? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And we are responding.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. My God, how great you are.
Glory, 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 glory.
You are.
Thank you, Jesus. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I challenge you to come back home. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come back home. If it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues, just come back home. God still loves you. And in closing today, I want to remind you, had Naomi not came back home, we wouldn't have had Ruth. You may be broken and you may be empty, but there's more riding on your shoulders than what you know. I hope all of you will receive what I preached today. Hope all of you will pray for our country this week.